Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Sight around the world. Hello, everybody. Welcome. And before I say another word, I've got to apologize to my dear friend Sharon Hutcherson. I was asked to be on a Zoom last night with her family for my good friend Leon, who passed away, 94 years old, great dude, very, very funny guy and hardworking guy, and passed away, and I apologize. I was going to say a few words last night on the show, and I completely slipped my mind. Leon was a great guy. I loved him, and I loved his sense of humor, and he'll be deeply missed. So, Sharon, to you and the family, deepest condolences on the death of your dad. All right, Inner Sight, we got a show tonight on Social Security, and before we get to that, let me remind you, tomorrow is the ADA celebration. Yours truly will be at Silo, and I've been given liberty to say a few words, so I greatly appreciate that tomorrow. And, of course, my words will be about the nursing homes and how we got to get rid of them. They're horrible. So you're in Suffolk County. Join with us tomorrow. I don't know if they're going to have Zoom out there. They might. People might be able to Skype in or whatever. Tomorrow at 11:30, Silo, out in Medford, Long Island. And I'm not one to celebrate the ADA for many, many different reasons. I don't want to get into that. But I'm not saying it's all bad, but it needs to be amended tremendously. All right, Inner Sight, brought to you by the Big East Akita Rescue. Joanne Diamond, the Akita Lady, Tuckahoe, New Jersey, and a great, great Akita, Japanese mountain dog. I've been training Akita guide dogs for over 30 years, so I know about something about the Akita. Not as enough as I should know, but you learn every day. All right. We urge the government to get dogs at the door of the schools to protect children. Dogs that can be trained to detect firearms. Talking about this now for quite some time. I don't know of any movement that has occurred to make it happen. And they also should have a metal detector inside the door with an armed guard outside with a dog that can detect firearms, protect the children. Inner Sight, Big East, the key to rescue at Verizon.net. That's the email. Big East, a key to rescue at Verizon.net. And the phone number is 609-388-7004 for the Akita Rescue. All right, Inner Sight, remind you, go an extra mile for a child. We remember several who passed away and many in Texas whose names we don't know, but yet we still honor them and our hearts go out to the families. Corey Foster of Antio Quindo, Baby Royalty, Little Tommy, Ollie Campbell, some of the children that we have helped or know about who have passed away, I should say. So go an extra mile for a child. Inner Sight reminds you. It's a good way to look at it and I practice what I preach. I went a little bit extra for a child today. I was in a local department store and waiting for the restroom, and a lady came along with, I believe it was a little boy, maybe it was a girl, I don't know. And She said the child really had to go to the bathroom really bad. I said, well, go ahead. You go next. I'll wait. So go an extra mile for a child. Inner sight reminds you. Brought to you by Kennedy Realty. Islip, New York. Buy a house, sell a house, get some good information. Kennedy, 631-888-1186 on the Kennedy Realty. And a great, great guy who cares about people, who is a great help to keeping inner sight on the air. Kennedy Realty, 631-888-1186. Hey, you need dog food, cat food? Call Nobody Starves on Long Island, my buddy Gary, 631-484-3085. And you don't have to pay for it. He'll help your animal. Even if you need medical, let him know. Nobody Starves on Long Island, 631-484-3085. We thank SILO, Suffolk Independent Living Organization, and we'll be out there tomorrow. SILO, 631-880-7929. Advocates, and any information you want to know about the legal system for the disabled or laws that are listed in the legislature, 631-880-7929, SILO. And we thank them for their support of the show. All right, inner sight around the world, awaiting for the arrival of my engineer on the board. You know, being almost totally blind, I can't read the board. I'm hoping to have some new equipment in the next few weeks to be able to remedy that situation. But in the meantime, I cannot decipher phone calls on the board. So what I try to do is call people on the three-way line and get them on the air that way. All right. Inner Sight brought to you by Bahamundi Attorney, Civil Rights, 516-783-9662 on Bahamundi, who is a disabled civil rights lawyer. And call him if you feel you've been violated. He'll let you know if you have a case. You don't have to pay him. The courts take care of that. Inner Sight around the world, millions of people on Social Security. Our guest, who will be on the show tonight, wrote a book, how to deal with it, how to present your case, what to expect, what to look for, evidence, and all that. How the judges think. You know, years ago when I was going to go to college, a friend of mine who was a law professor, he taught the bar, he wanted me to be a lawyer, and I got sidetracked, but he used to tell me, you've got to figure out how the professor thinks. That's so true. I believe it. So that's what you might be able to learn from this book. Now we're gonna take a break and call our guest because I don't see my engineer in here, and I want to get Spencer on the show. So stand by. It's like we'll break the station. And call him on the three-way line. Stand by. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. This is Spencer. How are you?
Good, good. You're live on the air around the world on Inner Sight. And welcome to the show and your book, Social Security Revealed, right? Is that the title of it?
Social Security Disability Revealed.
Disability.
And the subtitle, okay. Social Security Disability Revealed, and the subtitle is Why It's So Hard to Access Benefits and What You Can Do About It.
All right. What moved you to write a book like this?
Well, I worked for Social Security for over 10 years.
Right.
A lot of people don't even know that there's a Social Security disability system. They hear Social Security and they automatically think retirement.
Yeah.
But there is a Social Security disability system. And as you know, Frank, it's enormous. Tens of thousands of cases every month. It's one of the biggest adjudicatory systems in the world. And I actually had the job of writing the disability decision. And I wrote almost 2,000 decisions. And I reviewed thousands more on appeal. And after doing all of that for so many years and seeing how complicated the process is and how many people are denied benefits that they've paid for their entire working lives, I wanted to write this book to try and explain to people what they need to know in order to be educated claimants, is that they can go into the process knowing what to expect and what they need to do to give themselves the best possible chance at having their claim approved.
Right. All right. Now, let's say, you know, we hear from disabled people every day, all day long, and, you know, have many of them on the show, and there's millions all over the country. A person, let's say they become disabled, you know, and they go to a doctor and they've been in an accident or whatever it is, and they're permanently disabled. And they apply for Social Security, and they get denied. Now, why is that if they're disabled?
Well, that's an interesting question because you bring up a great point, which is, who defines what the word disabled means? A lot of people who have medical impairments and can't work, they might think of themselves as disabled. But private disability policies, individual people, they may have their own definition, but Social Security has a very specific legal definition of what it means to be disabled. And that's what they're using to decide Social Security disability claims.
So they don't they don't go by the doctor's decision that this person is disabled?
Well, the doctor can evaluate your medical conditions and your impairments, and a doctor or a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant or even alternative sources like a chiropractor or an acupuncturist or an ophthalmologist.
Can we quiet that noise in the background? Is that a dog?
I don't have any noise coming on my end. I'm sorry.
Oh, I hear noise. I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, so all these medical sources can evaluate your medical impairments, and they can give diagnoses, and they can say, here's how these conditions affect your mind or your body. But then there's an additional question, which is, how does that then impact your ability to work? And the doctor can say, well, here's how far you can see. Here's how long you can stand or walk. This is how many pounds you can lift. But what the doctor can't do is say whether or not that impacts your ability to do a variety of jobs in the national economy. So, in fact, whether or not you are disabled is a legal finding, and that's where the judge and the attorneys who work for Social Security come into play. And that was my job. I would review medical records, and I'm not a doctor, and I wasn't trained how to be a doctor, but I was trained on how to read medical records and look at the law and decide if someone meets the legal definition, according to the Social Security regulations, for being disabled.
So then how do you determine that somebody's disabled by the law?
Well, there's something called the sequential valuation process, and I won't bore you or your listeners with the details. That's all in the book, Social Security Disability Revealed. But basically, the Social Security regulations have this process for deciding what are your impairments and how they impact your ability to do your past work and any other work that exists in significant numbers in the national economy. And at the initial review, it's someone who works for the state. So in the state of New York, a state reviewer, a state employee would make that decision. And if you're denied, then you would go to a hearing with a federal judge, and that judge would make the decision. But the key is they're not taking the place of your doctor or any of your medical sources, but what they're doing is they're looking to see what the doctor wrote, what tests were performed, how you were treated, how you responded to that treatment, and deciding whether or not you can do work that exists in the entire national economy.
Are they going to help you get a job?
No, absolutely not.
With that disability?
And that's the thing, is it's not, they're not trying to say there are actual jobs you can go back and do. This is a theoretical determination. Just in theory, could you go into a restaurant and wash dishes for 8 hours a day? In theory, could you do a job bagging groceries for 8 hours a day? These may be jobs that don't exist where you live. They may be jobs where there's nobody hiring. None of that is relevant with regard to Social Security disability.
Sounds like a lot of double talk to me. You know,
it is a lot of double talk, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People tell me, you know, I'm disabled. I can't move my hands or whatever. I can't stand up. I got to take a break and all that. And yet all that medical stuff that the doctors put forth, so you go to Social Security, and now they look at it in a whole different way. What's the point of going to the doctor?
Exactly, and that's why it's important to do two things. There's two really important themes in my book, Social Security Disability Revealed. The first is that it is really important for claimants to be educated on the process, to know the difference between the two Social Security programs, to know how Social Security makes its decisions, to know what kind of evidence you might need. From my experience, people who take an active role in the presentation of their case to the judge have a much better chance of being approved. The other thing that's really important is to have a Social Security representative helping you out. Sometimes these are lawyers. They don't need to be lawyers. But Social Security representatives are absolutely worth their fee because they know the process. They know the actual legal definition of disability that Social Security uses.
When you say a Social Security representative, you mean somebody who works for Social Security?
No. I mean someone who works for you or works for the claimant.
Oh.
Hiring a lawyer or non-attorney representative to represent you and your interests as the claimant. Because you're in a fight with Social Security. When you apply for Social Security benefits, people think, oh, it's the government, I'm a taxpayer, I'll apply, I'll be approved, no problem. But over 70% of people are denied at that initial determination.
Yeah.
So those people now realize, wait, I'm in a fight with the government. This is an entitlement program. I should be entitled to this money. And they're denying my claim. I need someone to represent me, but I also need to go read this book so I understand the process from here so I can work with my representative to present my medical evidence in a way that will most easily convince the judge at the next step of the process to approve my claim.
So why is it that most people are denied the first time out? What's the reason for that?
The main reason is lack of evidence, but not just the quantity of evidence, the type of evidence. Yes, of course, Social Security handles vision impairment cases, which I know is a focus of your audience, but actually the more common cases are back impairments, knee impairments, people who do really physical jobs and either get injured at work or after 10, 20 years of working, their bodies just wear out. And so the evidence that a person needs to show Social Security that they're disabled and they can't work, it's not just one medical report or one x-ray. You got to show a long period, a longitudinal is what we say in the legal world, period of evidence, proving you have that impairment and proving that you can't do any work that exists in significant numbers in the national economy because of that impairment.
Yeah, so it sounds like to me, and to millions of others, I'm sure, that they're trying to not give you Social Security.
It certainly saves the government money every time they deny a claim.
Yeah.
And members of Congress love saving taxpayers money. And the Social Security Administration is funded by Congress. So they want to keep the congressional committees and congressional representatives happy.
Yeah, but here's my next question. You say they'd like to save the government money. Why is it a person on Social Security to a nursing home? How come the Social Security Administration allows the nursing home to take that money that person has worked for? What can you do about that?
I got to be honest, I don't know a whole lot about nursing homes. Why did Social Security disability, which means people under full retirement age? So I didn't see a lot of claims where people were beyond their early 60s. And so I don't know a lot about how retirement homes bill Medicare or Medicaid. But you certainly be in a nursing home and receive Social Security disability benefits. There's no barrier there. But
the nursing home takes it. You don't get that money. They give you $50 a month in New York, unless they raised it and I'm unaware.
Well, when someone is approved for Social Security disability, the amount that they get is based on the Social Security tax that they paid into the system while they were working. And there's a very complicated formula, and that's not my area of expertise, but I think most Social Security disability claimants get between $1 and $2,000 per month in Social Security disability benefits.
If the Congress, and I've met with my congressman, if the Congress really cared about the taxpayers' money, they wouldn't waste $196 billion as they did in the last budget on these nursing homes, because it costs a lot less to keep a person in their own home. What's
really interesting about terms like waste, and I talk about this in the book, is that term waste it's really a very subjective term. A lot of people think that people are wasting government money if they try and access Social Security disability benefits that they've paid for through their taxes. But that's really a red herring, because when you pay into the system, you expect that if you need it, that those benefits are going to be there for you. And if you can prove you're disabled, and again, that's Social Security's definition of disability, then you can get those benefits. And I wrote a lot of favorable decisions. I wrote a lot of decisions granting people benefits. So I don't want your audience to think everyone's being denied. That's definitely not the case.
Yeah, but you can lose your benefits.
Well, that's a whole different thing. But you're right. Once you're awarded benefits, it is possible to have those benefits taken away by Social Security, which is why even if you're awarded benefits my book, Social Security Disability Revealed, is really important. I have a chapter in there explaining how even if you've been awarded benefits, you can lose those benefits. And that's the case whether you're on the SSI program or the SSDI program. And those are very different programs. One is Supplemental Security Income. One is Social Security Disability Insurance. But I talk about both programs throughout the book and how benefits for both programs can terminate.
Well, we believe very strongly that the whole Social Security system is wrong for people who are disabled. You know, that there should be no question. A person should never lose their benefits for as long as they're disabled. That money belongs to us. Earned it with our lives. We earned it with becoming disabled. And many of us became disabled in government facilities, like hospitals and so on and so forth. So we should not have to suffer with losing that money. That money should belong to us for as long as we're disabled, and we should be able to do what we want with it, too.
There are some circumstances where Social Security can end benefits that don't have to do with the actual medical evidence. But for the most part, the main way that Social Security can end benefits is if they decide a person is no longer disabled. So you're right. As long as someone remains disabled, again, under Social Security's very, very narrow definition, they would keep their benefits and they would get benefits each month. But Social Security can do a review of your case and determine that you're no longer disabled. And of course, that's appealable, and you can go to a judge and explain why that's not right and you are still disabled. And I handled lots of those cases as well. And I talk about all of that in the book so that even if you are getting disability benefits, your case is approved, you can understand how that process works and make sure that you're aware that that sort of thing can and does happen.
You know what I think is one of the best weapons against Social Security when they're trying to take people's benefits away who are disabled?
Publicity,
the newspapers. Make it public. Embarrass the hell out of these damn people. Because especially for people in nursing homes, that's horrible. Social Security doesn't protect that money when you're in a nursing home. They let the nursing home take it.
So what's important to remember about people who have been found disabled by the Social Security Administration for beneficiaries who are getting benefits is that their benefits can't just be taken away for no reason. There has to be a reason. And when it comes to Social Security deciding, well, someone's no longer disabled, there's really two ways that that happens. First, the person goes back to work. Going back to doing full-time work is kind of your way of saying to Social Security, yeah, I can work again. I'm good. I don't really need the benefits anymore. And a lot of people do that, and they want to go back to work. And that works out fine for them. But the other thing that Social Security can do is they can do a medical review where they send you to see a doctor and they ask for new medical records, and they can look at your updated medical situation and decide, okay, we found you disabled, but you've improved, and now you're no longer disabled. And that's not so much the case with vision impairments, but think about like a warehouse worker, they're lifting a heavy box, they hurt their back, they need to have surgery, they do rehab, and then after a year or two, they gradually get better and can go back to work. But that is a situation where Social Security could say, you're better, you don't need benefits now, you can go and you can
work.
Would
that person still be disabled or not?
Well, so what Social Security would find is at the point where you could still have a medical impairment, but at the point where Social Security finds your medical impairment no longer prevents you from working, they would decide that you are
Suppose three doctors disagree and they say this person can't work.
I've seen cases where far more than three doctors write a medical opinion suggesting that the person could not sustain a full-time work schedule, and the judge decides to find all of those opinions unpersuasive.
So what you're saying, is that a person can be proven medically that they're disabled, and the Social Security will still take away their benefits.
The key is that who decides whether someone is disabled? That term is not a medical term. It's a legal term. So what the doctors will do is the doctors will go discuss your functioning. A doctor can say, because of your medical impairments, you can
Says you're legally disabled.
So a doctor would say you can only sit a certain number of hours per day. You can only lift 10 pounds. You can only stand and walk 2 hours per day. And then what the judge does is the judge, who works for Social Security, looks at those limitations and decides if you can work. And because that's the key, is the definition of disability is not just do you have medical conditions, but do those medical conditions prevent you from being able to work for a full 12 months? So a broken bone that would heal in 2 months does not make you disabled according to Social Security.
Just because the judge says you can work doesn't make it so.
That's true, but it's the judge's job to decide if you meet the legal definition of disability. But as I talk about in the book, Social Security Disability Revealed, why it's so hard to access benefits and what you can
do about it. How come you can't
go
before a judge when you're in a nursing home and they take your Social Security? Where's the judge for that?
So when you are found to be no longer disabled, you can appeal the case to an administrative law judge. And
people are disabled in the nursing home, and they lose their Social Security, is my point.
So you can appeal denials or a finding that you're
not
no longer
Not when you're in a nursing home, you can't.
To a judge. And I handled a lot of these cases. So I know that when someone is found to be not disabled or no longer disabled, I know that they can appeal these decisions to a judge, and I would see the medical records.
Yeah, but you never had any people.
And I would write
who
the actual
Excuse me. You never had any people in nursing homes who lost their Social Security and were trying to get a fair hearing to get it back.
So I handled thousands of cases, and every single case that I handled had a hearing with an independent administrative law judge.
How many of them were in nursing homes?
Like I said, I didn't handle a lot of cases where people were beyond their early 60s. But what I'm trying to say is, in the book,
a lot of young people in nursing homes too.
I talk about exactly how the procedure works. I talk about how the hearing procedure works, how the appeals procedure works, what would happen when you go before a judge. And so whether or not someone's in a nursing home, it's the same hearing and appeals procedure for every claimant, whether they're trying to get benefits the first time or whether they've been found disabled, their benefits are being taken away, and they're trying to appeal that to a judge. And here's the thing. This is the key that I want to get out. In the book, I also talk about how those judges are incentivized by the Social Security Administration to deny claims.
So in other words, the judge is a prejudice against people.
It's not necessarily all judges, but the agency itself does provide an incentive for judges to move really fast.
Yeah.
For judges to not spend a lot of time in each case, and for judges to deny claims when they can.
Yeah, which means that the system is rigged.
and which is why it's not much more important that every claimant before they...
Yeah, but what good is that if the judge is a prejudice?
Well, the approval rate after the initial determination is about 30 to 40%. So there are cases that are approved, but in order to be approved, you got to have a rock solid case. You got to have really good medical evidence. You have to have a good chronology. You have to show that you're getting treatment. You have to show that you're trying to go back to work. You have to show the judge why you have a medical impairment. That means you can't work for a full 12 months. And when people are educated on the process, when they understand how it works, when they understand what kind of evidence they need, they're more likely to end up with a positive outcome for their case.
Yeah, let me stand by. Let me take a break. I got to recognize a friend and tell people when our television show is on, and stand by.
I will be here.
Yeah. All right, Inner Sight Means Freedom, Advocates for the Disabled. Our Inner Sight phone number, 631-224-3090. Tomorrow night is our funnies over here on Inner Sight. You want to have a cool time and goof around? Tune us in tomorrow night, 8 to 9. And my good friend Devin Fernandez, who's with the Third Eye Insight, Inner Sight presents Insight on the program. So you want to stay in shape and learn self-defense. Devin is a blind guy, and he's an expert on self-defense. So give him a call, 631-445-3464. Third Eye Insight, if you want to look him up. All right, Devin Fernandez, good buddy of mine, and believes in inner sight. Again, that phone number, 631-445-3464. Insight. All right, our television schedule reruns, still haven't opened up the studio. Thursday night on Altice, 7:30, that's Long Island. Thursday night, Channel 20 on Thursday night. Wednesday night, 11 o'clock, Manhattan Neighborhood Network. 1997 is the channel, and Channel 3 on the Spirit Channel. It's all reruns for now. We're going to hopefully hook in some new shows pretty soon. All right, Inner Sight. Yeah, you got a lot of noise in the background. You got to get rid of that noise.
Oh, jeez. All right, let me put it on mute. Hold on.
All right, talking about Social Security with Spencer. Give your full name and the name of the book, Spencer, please.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. My name is Spencer Bishens, and my book is Social Security Disability Revealed: Why It's So Hard to Access Benefits and What You Can Do About It. And the best way to buy the book is to go to our website, Bishens, that's B-I-S-H-I-N-S, BishensPublishing.com, all one word, BishensPublishing.com. And we have all the different places right there on the website that you can buy the book. We are planning to do an audio book. That's not ready quite yet, but that is in the works.
Yeah, and how does a person go about getting a hearing when they have a problem with getting their benefits?
So the very first thing, obviously, is an initial application, which can be done on the Social Security website, on the phone, or by going to a Social Security office. I fully recommend the website. It's way more efficient.
All right.
The very first person that's going to make a decision on your Social Security application, regardless of where in the United States you live, is an employee at your state agency Department of Health. They're called the state agency reviewer. This person is usually not a lawyer. They're just a state employee who looks at your evidence and looks at the Social Security regulations and decides if you're disabled. But most people, the vast majority of people at this point, will be denied. Some people are approved. About 30% of people are approved. But in order to be approved at that initial level, you have to have really solid medical evidence over a very long period of time, and most people just don't. at that point, and so most people are denied.
Yeah, let me ask you.
Go ahead.
A question. Overpayment by Social Security now.
Yeah.
And a person is told when they call in, they report it, and they're told that don't worry about it, you don't have to pay it back.
Yeah.
Accurate or not?
Sort of. This is a great topic. It's one I cover in the book because it's really important to talk about this because this is one of those situations. I said earlier it's really important to have a representative, right?
Yeah.
Because of the way that the representatives get paid, these overpayment cases, they're cases where it's almost impossible to have an attorney representing you. So most people have to do these on their own. Let me go ahead and explain just for your audience what an overpayment case is, okay?
Yep.
So you apply for benefits, could be disability, could be retirement, could be survivor benefits, some kind of Social Security. You're awarded some kind of benefits. You're paid the money. After that, Social Security realizes, oops, we paid you too much. Or we paid you something and we shouldn't have paid you anything, they send you a sort of polite letter saying, you owe us this money back. What can you do about that? The first thing you can do is dispute it. And you can say, no, I am entitled to this money, and here's why. And just write a simple letter to the agency. And the cases that I saw are situations where the agency said, no, you still owe the money. And the people would have to request the hearing with an administrative law judge. And in that situation, the judge is deciding two things. The first is, who is at fault in causing the overpayment? Was that the claimant's fault, the recipient's fault, or is that Social Security's fault? Sometimes it's the fault of the beneficiary. Someone, for example, might go back to work. They're earning money. They forget to tell Social Security because they're earning money. That should reduce their Social Security benefits, but they didn't tell Social Security. That would be the beneficiary's fault. But to be honest, most times it is Social Security's fault.
Yeah.
And actually, this is one place where I have to give the judges some credit. Because the judges understand this, and they will usually say, this was Social Security's fault. This is not the fault of the beneficiary. Social Security messed up, and they paid benefits when they shouldn't have.
So you don't have to pay them back.
So you think that would mean you don't have to pay them back, but that's not how the law works. There is one
other step. There's a double talk again.
There's a double talk. The other part of the law, and remember, the law is passed by Congress, so Social Security is just enforcing what Congress has put in place. After deciding who is at fault, there's a second part, and they have to decide, can you, even if you were not at fault in causing the overpayment, can you afford to pay it back? Even if Social Security caused you to get too much money, if you can afford to pay back that overpayment, you have to. That's
now,
the way
about,
the law is written.
What about just paying them a small amount a month? Can you claim hardship?
You can do that. Yeah, well, so there's two things. The first is you can set up a payment plan. Let's say you owe $10,000. You could say, I can pay $500 for the next 20 months. Social Security will absolutely work with you on that. But there is a way to get the overpayment waived. You can ask Social Security. You can say, even though I didn't cause the overpayment, and even though you maybe think I should pay it back, I want you to waive it and forgive it and make me pay back nothing. And
yeah.
I handled a lot of these cases. And the judges, sometimes they will approve those waiver requests, and sometimes they don't. But, yeah, if you are, let's say, a victim of an overpayment situation, you can absolutely request a hearing with a judge and try and get it waived. You don't automatically have to pay it back.
So you got to stand up to them. Don't let them push you around.
And like I said, it's all in the book explaining how overpayments work and why they happen and what you need to show in order to stand up to them and to give it your best shot. The judge could still rule against you, right? That's possible. But you might as well try. That's in every legal situation. If you have the right to ask for a hearing, if you have the right to go to a judge, you might as well do it. There's no harm in that. You're paying the judge's salary through your taxes. You might as well take every avenue available to you and try and get your benefits or keep your benefits.
Yeah. So are you going to do a second book?
Well, I tried to honestly put everything that I knew, everything that I gathered from my 11 years at the agency, I wanted to put it all in one book because I wanted one resource for people before they file their claim, while they're in the process, before they get denied, after they get denied, if they need to appeal, overpayments, termination of benefits. I wanted it all in one book so someone could have one resource that they could turn to. And there's a glossary, so if you don't understand something, you can flip to the back and remind yourself what something means. My goal in writing this book was that I wouldn't need to write a second book.
All right. So do you talk in the book, do you talk about how the system should be changed for the better?
Absolutely. And I actually, little preview here, Frank, this is a place where you and I completely agree in that I think your position is there's so many problems with the Social Security disability system, it would be best to just scrap it and start over. Do I have that right?
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
So I talk about how to navigate the system we have, but also how the delivery of public benefits in the United States could be made better than it is now, and how it could be done a lot cheaper as well.
Yeah, if the Congress would get the agencies involved and let them raise money and contribute toward the person's benefits when they're disabled, that would save money for the government.
Well, the thing that the government spends the most money on, people don't think about this. They think, well, the beneficiaries, that's where we're spending the money, on the actual benefits. But actually, the number one cost in any business, and the federal government is no exception, is personnel. The sheer number of people who work for the Social Security Administration, we're talking tens of thousands of employees just to administer the disability.
Yeah, you got too many people.
Too many people.
True.
And it's inefficient.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You know, and but there's a lot of ways that they can save money, you know. And one of them would be to mandate the agencies to help people in their community who are disabled and you know, getting benefits to offset some of the money that the government is spending.
Well, one of the problems with the way federal benefits are done is that there are too many agencies. So you have Social Security doing disability, but then you have Housing and Urban Development doing Section 8, and you have the Department of Education doing school lunches, and you have the Department of Health. If we scale back the number of agencies administering the programs, we could maybe combine some of the programs.
That'd be great.
And
you gotta give
the money to beneficiaries in a more efficient way.
Common sense, you know. Think about it.
During the pandemic, think about how efficient those payments were that went to almost every American. And it's because they went from one place, the IRS, sent money to everyone. You didn't have several different agencies not collaborating with each other doing this all piecemeal. And I know nobody likes the IRS, but the IRS is very efficient.
Very.
Oh, by the way, that's Suzanne, supposed to be my engineer.
Yeah, engineer and co-host. I've been stuck on trying to get the phone to work.
Yeah, so, again, Spencer, give the book again. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. My name is Spencer Bishan, and this is a brand-new book from Bishan Publishing called Social Security Disability Revealed, Why It's So Hard to Access Benefits and What You Can Do About It. It's great for claimants. It's great for family members, caregivers, supporters. If you know anyone, if you have anyone in your life who has a medical condition and sometimes finds it difficult to work, this is a great book for you to read, for them to read. Even if the person hasn't yet applied for benefits, it's great. Actually, it's even better to know how the system works before you get into it.
I think so. A question.
Yeah,
yes,
go ahead.
I do. I had a severely high overpayment, and I probably maybe about 3 times to 4 times gave Social Security a call and telling them that I was working. And they said, well, because I had gotten two checks. One was for like $5,000 and the other was like for $6,000. It was because I found this out later. It's because that they said, okay, since you're making X amount of money, you deserve X amount coming to you also. So that's what happened. I had a really, really horrible overpayment. I mean, it was $81,000, and I'm a person who couldn't afford even, you know, the pot. If you understand, you know, I don't have the pot to even go to the bathroom and with all the money that, you know, I don't have. You know, so
well, what's your question? We're going to run out of time.
Yeah, they wanted $350 back from me. I finally just stood up and said, I can't afford that. You've got to make a better option. $350 a payment was taken out of my disability each time. Now, how do you control something like that?
So I'll jump in here. So, first of all, the best way to communicate in any legal situation is in writing. So calling Social Security probably won't be very effective. The best thing to do is put a response in writing, and then if you don't agree with what they're saying, you have an option to request a hearing with an administrative law judge and to dispute the overpayment. You can say it wasn't my fault. But remember, there's a second part where you then have to say, even though it wasn't my fault, here's why I can't afford to pay it back. And the judge will work with you, and they'll tell you what information they need in order to make that determination.
I had to go to Congress, a congressman. I didn't get an answer yet, but they just,
Well, actually, Frank, do I have time to address that real quick? So this is also in the book. People do think that you can go to your member of Congress and that might do something. I talk about this in the book. It's called a congressional inquiry, and members of Congress really have no authority. They're not going to help your case move any faster, and they're not going to make it more likely for you to get a decision. So you can get a member of Congress involved, but there's really no reason to do so. The best thing to do is to just go through the process, tell Social Security you want a hearing with a judge, and then work with the judge and the judge's staff to get them the evidence they need.
Wiped out.
She had a hearing, and she lost it.
Yeah, I
did. Did you have a hearing with the judge?
The worst thing I find, sorry, I just have a little bit of a hearing loss, but I'll just go on with this.
Did you have a hearing with an administrative law judge?
Yes. I went straight to court.
And you got a decision from a judge?
Yes, and they made it, first of all, $20,000 less, so it went to $60,000, okay? Because I had jumped in and yelled at what
So what you can do is, and I talk about this in the book, that you can appeal that decision from the judge to the appeals council. And I also worked at the appeals council, and I can tell you, every one of those appeals does get looked at by at least two people. So, you know, don't think it's a, it might sometimes feel like a black hole and no one's paying attention. But when you appeal a decision, they absolutely look at it. And if they think there's an error, they'll send that back to the judge, and they'll tell the judge to do that again.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that if the judge made a reasonable choice for you, is that basically it, that they would have to do it again and figure it out with what you have to say? Because I have no money right now. And it's killing me.
So, yeah, so I explain in the book how to do an appeal and what that means and who handles those.
Okay.
And when you appeal a decision, it gets looked at by at least two different people at the appeals council, which is Social Security's appeals body. And even if you lose there, you can appeal again. So you have lots of different avenues to try and get what you're looking for.
She had a lawyer, and the lawyer didn't tell her any of this.
None of this. Nope. And he, you know, the weird thing is, he kicked me under the table and said to me, shush, you're not supposed to respond to the judge like that. So I did anyway. I said, stop kicking me under the table. This hurts, you know, a person physically. So the judge was like,
you only have a certain amount of time to, you only have a certain amount of time to appeal. So anyone who gets an unfavorable decision, it's really important that you already have read the book and you already know how to appeal, so that you can be ready, because you only get 60 days normally in order to appeal. And then you're out of luck. So for anyone else in that situation, you want to make sure you know you're right.
Spencer, one more time with the book.
Sure. It's called Social Security Disability Revealed, Why It's So Hard to Access Benefits and What You Can Do About It, visionspublishing.com.
All right. Thank you very much. You've been a great guest on Inner Sight, and you know, we appreciate all the information, and I'm sure that it's going to help people. Get the book.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Frank.
All right.
Yeah, I will get the book.
Inner Sight means freedom, advocate for the disabled. We'll be with you tomorrow night on the Funnies, and I want to thank all our listeners, 115,405 as of last night. So thank you so much.
I could take a look now.
And be with us tomorrow night on the Funnies. All right, Inner Sight. We tell it like it is. And
partially.
You know, the point I made,
which
I don't believe is covered in Spencer's book, people in the nursing homes losing their benefits, and nobody gets a hearing on that I know of. All right, thank you very much. Inner Sight. Goodbye, world. Inner Sight. Good night, everybody. Thank you. Hello?